Pick the Nintendo Shack and pray. Frederick from Fire Emblem Awakening says, yo.
To this week of the Nintendo Shack. Kirby actually looks good. We're bringing back an old intro in that episode, and it made me laugh. I'm joined here by Garrett today. Elaine is out this week.
Hello. But
we have some pretty awesome stuff to talk about this week. I'm excited. Things are starting to happen. We've got some Kirby news to talk about. We've got some Pokemon Legends news to talk about. We've got some other games that are coming to Switch. Of course, some rumors that are hot off the press here that we're excited to talk about. I think things are starting to happen. We're halfway through January, and I know people are going to be starting to ask for a direct once we get closer to February. We're getting some news already, and I think things are looking up for Nintendo. I'm feeling optimistic going into the year. How about you, Garrett?
I mean, we got some pretty cool stuff this week. We had a little tidbits here and there. A little bit more optimistic, I guess. We'll see.
We'll
I want to see,
yes.
see a direct soon, actually.
Yeah. I do too. Trying to look at the positives here. What have you been up to this week, Garrett? Because I realized I have not been doing much gaming this week. Been busy with work
as usual.
But I feel like I've been spending my free time not gaming.
That's fine.
Kind of watching shows, just kind of relaxing. Not that I don't have games to play. I have stuff that I'm in the middle of. I just haven't really felt like I get that way sometimes, where I don't really feel like picking up a game and just dedicating some time to it. So
that's totally okay.
I'll bounce out of that. What have you been up to?
I haven't been playing much too, to be honest with you, because I put my mind into work, and my brain is just melted by the end of the day with just all this thinking and writing and making a presentation or whatever. I just want to chill. I want to veg out. I've actually been doing a Harry Potter marathon with Fiona. So we've been going through the movies every now and then. We are now in the last movie, part one. Deathly Hallows,
nice,
part one.
Nice. It's been a long time since I've seen the movies. I feel like the first half of them I rewatch a lot, but it's been a long time since I've seen, all of them all the way through.
But you a big Harry Potter fan?
I'm not. So I didn't grow up with Harry Potter. All of my friends did. I didn't read them as my friends were reading them. I didn't even see the movies until I was a teenager at some point. But I like the Harry Potter universe. Not a big fan, but I like it. Yeah, I think the movies are good.
I did watch the movies first before I read the books. And so I actually watched these when I was like 16 or 17 years old as well.
Yeah.
And then I went through the Harry Potter. And now I'm just a huge fan of Harry Potter in general. So it's a great universe. But other than that, I've been playing Shin Megami Tensei 5 here and there. Just like little bits and pieces here and there. I'm about 20 hours in, so... Yeah, again, a marathon, not a race.
About a tenth of the way through.
I'm at the probably fourth or fifth boss out of 200, so we're making progress here.
There you go.
I actually think about, I think it's getting a little easier for me. I'm getting a grip with it. I'm understanding the technique, really, is that you're going to die. When I go into a boss, I'm like, all right, I'm going to die here. But I'll learn how to prepare myself for the next boss attack, and then we go from there. Like, the latest boss I faced, I instantly knew the enemy is like, okay, very heavy on physical and fire. And I'm like, okay, I got to make sure his attack is down, and I have a monster in my party that knows this fire block move that blocks the fire moves when it comes at me. So you kind of learn its moves. But yeah, definitely the first encounter, you're dead. I was like, okay, I know I'm gonna fail this. I'm glad I had a save point just right over there, and then I just go back into it and prepare myself.
You know,
so.
Garrett,
it's been going good, though.
I was thinking about you the other day because I saw a Twitter post that said it was something along the lines of, man, like, it's time that Pokemon made two different series. One for, you know, the kids and the casual fans, and one for adults, really hardcore players. And a bunch of the replies were like, so you just want to play Shin Megami Tensei.
Pretty much. That's basically what they want to play. It really is. You're just catching these monsters by having a conversation with them. They may take your money. They may take your health. They may destroy you. It's like, yeah, it's the Dark Souls of Pokemon. Mm. I highly recommend Shin Megami Tensei if you want a Pokemon with a challenge.
Man, I need something in the middle. I need something that's a little bit more hardcore than Pokemon, but not nearly as intense as Shin Megami Tensei.
Yeah, and it's obtuse. It's not like a cute little story or whatever. It's just weird. It's dark.
I like that part of it. I like the weirdness.
Okay.
I don't like the brutal difficulty the of, weirdness. Like, having to die and die
That's
and
true.
Grind and...
Yeah, I get that. I get that. Maybe casual mode is a little better. I don't know. I would have to check that out.
I don't play casual mode, says Garrett. I wouldn't know if that's any better.
I don't know. but I'm sure it's way more manageable than going through it right now. But yeah, I wish there was a middle ground. I think there are games out there that do that.
Sure, yeah.
I just wish there was for Pokemon or a monster catching game, you know? I get that for sure. But I gotta admit, Rebecca, I was a little weak this week. There's a lot of sales going on.
Ooh,
on
tell Nintendo. Me, tell me.
Yeah, I bought two games, and they were relatively cheap, so that's why I went for. Fiona just said, "You did?" And I said, "Yes, I did."
You're in trouble.
I know. Now I'm in trouble now. But I grabbed Bug Fables and Cross Code.
Ooh.
Both of them were pretty cheap on the store. And I was like, you know what? I've been wanting to get these games for a while now on handheld, on Switch. And so why not? And so I just grabbed them real quick off the store. I haven't touched them yet, of course, because I don't have time.
Right.
But people have been saying these games are incredible, and they're great RPGs.
People
on the
say
go, so.
That Bug Fables is the best Paper Mario on the Switch.
Right. The best Paper Mario. It's, like, insane.
And
so.
I've heard that CrossCode is very good. That's one that, like, I was eyeing up when it released, but I never really got around to buying it or playing it. But I'm looking forward to hearing what you think about that one.
Yeah, yeah. I know Ryan's really into CrossCode.
Okay.
Like, that's one of his all-time favorite indie RPGs. And so that really stood out in my mind. And also Bug Fables, yeah, I've heard that too. It's one of the best Paper Mario games. So very much looking forward to it once I get to it. But yeah, that's all I've been doing.
All right, looking forward to hearing when you get around to playing those. We said that you're close to getting there. You're close to being done everything and finally getting some good relaxing gaming time in.
Yeah, I'm defending on Tuesday. So,
ooh, good luck, good luck. You'll have to let us know.
Yes, next week I move. So, yeah, next week I move. So I won't be here. But by the time I get here following week, I will be in a different place and I will be Dr. Bland. It's going to be a whole change.
A good change of my life.
Though. So it's going to be crazy.
A very good change.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Very good. Yeah.
All right. Let's get into this week in Nintendo. Like I said, I feel like we've been getting little bits and pieces here. People are saying, well, some of this stuff could have been in a direct. It wasn't. We know Nintendo likes to just tweet out some news sometimes. Our first big piece of news here is that Kirby and the Forgotten Land, which we learned about at the September Direct, got a trailer and a release date. So we learned that Kirby's mission is to rescue the Waddle Dees who have been kidnapped by the Beast Pack. There's this adorable character named, I don't know if I'm going to say this right, Elfillin.
It's something
cute.
Like that.
He's such a cute little fairy type creature. He teams up with Kirby as an ally. The game does support co-op mode where a second player can control Bandana D. I thought that was pretty cool. They showed off two new copy abilities. There's one that's called Drill or Driller, where you burrow underground, and Ranger, where you use this kind of like horn-like weapon. to blast the enemies. And of course, a lot of the old copy abilities are present as well. The trailer showed off some mini games that you can play as well, like Kirby is Fishing, serving snacks in a cafe, and one of those figurine capsule machines that you can, I guess, probably collect coins or something to redeem those. And then Meta Knight makes an appearance at the end. He's teased a little bit, starting to fight Kirby. This game will release March 25th, 2022, which is 2 days before my birthday.
Oh.
What did you think of this trailer, Garrett?
I was surprised by this trailer by itself. Like, the title I put on our nose is Kirby is actually looks good. And I don't really mean that. Kirby's always looked good, but I mean, like, actually good.
It looks good.
Oh, my gosh. I'm comparing this to Mario right now. That's thinking the same thing.
So yeah. The town that they showed, it looks kind of like the hub world, and then it looks like you go out to different places, right? That seems pretty standard. The town reminded me a lot of a town that you would see in Mario Odyssey. Like, it had that same kind of charm to it, where you could go and do different, you know, do different little mini games and whatnot. I liked it.
I really liked it too. I'm interested to look into this game. I'm interested to see reviews and what other people think of it. Because it definitely, from that trailer, it screams out Mario Odyssey Kirby Edition.
It really does.
In some form or fashion. So I'm wondering if there's going to be a lot of comparisons of that. And I'm just wondering how Kirby's going to flow through this 3D platformer. It looks fresh to me. From a Kirby standpoint.
Yeah, I hope that it plays well. I know that this is their first time exploring into kind of that 3D plane environment for Kirby, at least in this, you know, type of sense. I'm a Kirby fan, but I'm not really a Kirby game fan, which I know is kind of weird to say. This one is finally the first one in a long time that has my attention, that I am keeping a close eye on and saying that I might want to pick this up day one, perhaps, if it keeps looking this
maybe
good,
a review
which, yeah, it looks like it's looking pretty good so far. I'm excited. Along with that,
who has that game on Fantasy Critic? Who has that game? Is that Dev? I think it's Dev.
It
that
is
has
Devin.
That one.
Yeah.
Yeah. He thought of all the Nintendo games and tried to steal it from us. I see how it is, Dev.
Devin.
He's got a good one on his
gonna
hands.
Gonna pay off, hopefully, for him. With the trailer, we also saw more Kirby content was teased because it's the franchise's 30th anniversary this year. The actual anniversary takes place in April, and they didn't really say or share too much about what they're going to do for the anniversary. Obviously, this game is coming out in March, but there is a Japanese site that is teasing the anniversary. Right now, you can download a special wallpaper that commemorates all of the copy abilities. But keep a close eye on that, Kirby fans. It sounds like they might have a little bit more planned that they might do later this year.
Yeah. Do you expect it's going to be more than the Zelda one? It's maybe.
It could.
I don't know.
There could
maybe
be
they
more
want to
bring
this franchise up.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think Kirby is so popular in Japan. They have Kirby cafes. Okay. They have Kirby everything in Japan. Like, I'm surprised they don't lean into this a little bit more than they already do. I do feel like we get some kind of Kirby content every year, regardless, whether it's like a small eShop game. We got that one time. Kirby's usually getting something special, but
pretty much everywhere. You know where Kirby comes from, right? The name itself.
Yes. The lawyer, right? Who defended
the lawyer. That's
Nintendo
correct.
I forget the lawsuit.
I think the lawsuit, correct me if I'm wrong, Trey, the lawsuit was for Donkey Kong and King Kong and the copyright and trademark between those two with WB.
Right.
And so I think the actual lawyer's name, it was John Kirby?
I think so.
I think he recently passed away too, like last year as well. So that's a good memorable kind of thing for Nintendo to honor someone holding the Kirby name, and now he's this thing, this pink blob is a insane popular thing in Japan. I think that's cool. I think that's really, really cool.
Yeah, I could see them doing something else special this year, if, you know, whether it's another little eShop game or some kind of celebration. It'll be cool. We have some.
Yeah, amiibos.
Oh, amiibos. Ooh, I think they also said there's going to be amiibo support in this game. So they're still continuing on with that trend with keeping the amiibo dream alive, I think, for the people who really enjoy having those in games, you know, as a little perk to do certain things. We do have some Kirby-related questions to answer that our listeners wrote in about. Hobie wants to know, if Kirby were to consume you, what kind of power would he gain mastery of?
That's a good question. When I read that, I'm like, oh, what would it be? And I was just thinking of, you know, something cartoonish with me being like a scientist or chemist or whatever. I imagine Kirby just having the little graduation cap, reading a book, and then like in Super Smash Brothers, just throwing a potion bottle or something like that.
Ooh.
I don't know, some kind of like shooting range attack of kind. That's what I would
think. You put some thought into this. I tried to think. I don't know. I don't know. I feel like I don't know a lot of the Kirby like hobby abilities super well enough to know what kinds of things it would be. I know obviously the one where like he breathes fire or has a sword or breathes ice or whatever, but what are some other ones? Like what other kind of things can he do?
There's a sword one, a hammer, a drill. I forgot exactly in the Kirby games themselves as much. I think there's one that's like shock or some sort of shocking type of ability. But in Smash Brothers, it's normally like it's range attack. It'll suck in whatever that B attack move is, whether it's like a sword attack or gun or whatever. So that's what Kirby would normally do.
I don't know what my Kirby would do. I don't know. Maybe it would be something with writing, if there's any kind of Kirby type thing like that. I don't know.
You know what I think? I think you would be streaming. You would have like a computer like pop up and a desk pop up streaming, and then all the characters around you would like attract towards you and just like cheer on.
Oh, okay.
Or like something like that. And then you can attack all of them as they come closer to you.
It's kind of like Pikmin in a way. All the backup support.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Like
Ooh, now that would be a fun crossover. Kirby and Pikmin. How cute would that be?
That would be pretty good. I would be interested how they would do that.
Yeah. Me too. Micah wants to know, what are Shaq's favorite Kirby games? And I'm going to be honest, I've only ever beat one Kirby game, and it was way back in 2002. I was just a kid.
Wow.
It was Kirby Nightmare in Dreamland, which, correct me if I'm wrong, is that a remake or reimagining of the first Kirby in Dreamland game?
You're talking to the wrong person.
Again, Kirby and me. I'm not a Kirby game fan. I really like.
I wish Elaine was here.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sure she's a big Kirby fan.
I love Kirby the character. That's the only Kirby game I've ever beat. Like I said, I think maybe I might want to explore some more Kirby games before this one comes out. I know that a lot of them are very short. I know that there are some good ones for the Super Nintendo. I'm a new Kirby fan. I don't really consider myself to be a Kirby game fan yet.
I'm not a Kirby game fan either. This game looks cool, and I would be interested to look into a bit more later this year, maybe. I've only been one game as well. I think it was the Rainbow Canvas Curse.
Oh,
I think
was that on the Wii?
On the DS.
The DS?
Yeah, I had the one on the DS where you basically draw the kind of the rainbow on the touchscreen itself.
Right.
And the Kirby ball kind of went with it. It was a very innovative game.
They always have cool mechanics, I feel like, in Kirby games. They use the console's, whatever the gimmick is, to its full potential, I feel like. They had something similar for the Wii, I think. And chat is correcting me. It's a remake of Kirby's Adventure. So,
got it.
The only one I played.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Kirby. Like, I don't attract to, like, Kirby games themselves. I heard the Kirby Robot game is really good. Well, of course, from Donnie. So hopefully they would make a second of that. I would be down to play that. But yeah, other than that, I'm not a huge fan of Kirby.
Do you think you'll buy and get into the Forgotten Land?
Not day one. I can't really justify my purchase on a day one for a Kirby game, but maybe down the road, maybe when it's down like $40 digitally, winter sale. I think that would be better for me.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And Kevin wants to know, who is the cutest Kirby character? There was that little dog in the trailer. I don't know if that's like a recurring character or if that's new, but it was really cute.
Yeah.
I gotta learn more Kirby characters.
Me too. I know Kirby from Smash Brothers. That's the thing. It's like, yeah. I knew Kirby was a thing, and then I kind of knew more of that character. I knew it was a guy and everything in Smash Brothers and familiarized myself over there. Everything that Kirby forms into, super adorable.
Yeah.
Especially like when it's like contrasting or so ironic with like dark characters like Ganondorf and I don't know, like Cloud and all of them characters. It's pretty hilarious what Kirby turns into.
I like the sleeping version of Kirby where he has the nightcap and it just covers like his whole head, like his whole body, because his head is his body. And then that new fairy character that we were just talking about, the one who I couldn't pronounce the name, Elfalyn.
Yes.
She is so cute.
I could
easily see her being like a favorite character of mine because she's so adorable.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah. So get Kirby. Excited for that, Kirby fans. It sounds like you're going to have a good year of content.
Better than Zelda. I could feel it. What? I could really feel it.
What world are we in that Metroid, Kirby, they're all getting bigger anniversary celebrations than Zelda?
I don't know.
And even Mario, crazy. They're even better than Mario these days.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I guess they're trying to raise their franchise or something. Hey, they're smaller franchises.
I like that, though. I'm glad that they're doing that. In some other Switch news, Assassin's Creed the Ezio Collection was announced for the Switch coming out this February. It'll include Assassin's Creed 2, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, and Assassin's Creed Revelations. It'll also include two short films featuring Ezio, Creed Lineage and Creed Embers. There will be Switch-specific features in this release, like HD Rumble and a touchscreen interface, so it's not just a quick port. Sounds like they actually are taking their time with making this one work for the Switch. It will also include all of the single-player DLC for each of the games. So Assassin's Creed 2 will come on the cartridge. If you are not a fan of those game downloads that come along with the cartridge, you're out of luck, because the other games and content must be downloaded. They said it will take up about 35 gigabytes. It's releasing pretty soon, February 17th, and it'll be $40. I got Assassin's Creed Black Flag on the Switch, and I didn't finish it. I played it here and there. Open world games intimidate me, but I liked what I played. This is another one where I feel like maybe down the road, if I'm looking for something to play, I'm looking for something new, maybe get a good deal on it, not $40, maybe half that price, $25. Mm-hmm. I would consider picking this up. It sounds like a good amount of content, and it sounds like they took their time on this port.
I'm a huge Assassin's Creed fan. I played pretty much all the games except for like the later ones where they require 200 hours out of you, and I just can't have that amount of time these days. These are the best Assassin's Creed games, definitively, objectively. I don't care about any other's opinion. These are the best games.
That's what I've heard
out of the Assassin's Creed franchise. I played Brotherhood first, and then I played 2, and then Revelations. I think 2 is the best in terms of story and like linearity and like with the Ezio relationships and everything. It's actually it's full of character, to be quite honest with you. Brotherhood is a little bit more open than 2, but it's more just one city. It's not intimidating like Assassin's Creed Black Flag at all. Revelations is the same thing. I think Revelations, it's one of those games that it's like, oh, that could have been a DLC to Brotherhood. That's what it kind of felt like. But all three of them are really fantastic games. They're not really open world. They are, you can explore cities here and there, but it's not like you're not boggled by so many different things and being so open like Black Flag. So, well, yeah, I highly recommend this collection for anyone.
Encourages me, I think, to really think about getting this at some point this year, because I, like I said, I really like what I played, but I don't have that time to really dive into like a huge open world story, and it's intimidating. It's like, what do I do? So some of these ones that might be a little bit more guiding for me. I like it.
Yeah, two is I regard that as one of my favorite. It's probably my favorite Assassin's Creed game. It could be, like, if I had to think about a top 20 list, Assassin's Creed 2 is probably in there.
Awesome.
Yeah, okay. Somewhere. Yeah.
Hopefully it's good. Hopefully, fingers crossed, knock on wood, it's a good port.
Yep.
Price seems right,
I think it will be okay.
Yeah.
Right, right.
All right. Then, just today, we got a new trailer for Pokemon Legends Arceus. I feel like we're talking about this game every week. We're learning little tidbits of information here and there. But today, we got a 13-minute long gameplay preview where it showed a lot of, like, actual gameplay. Like, I feel like these are... It answered the questions that I feel like we've been wondering for literally months. Did you feel that way?
Right. Yeah, no, it definitely felt that. It's like, this is exactly what you're going to do in this game. Yeah,
so let me...
Thank you.
Let me break down what they showed. I'm not going to dive too much into the stuff that we already knew about. But like I said, I think we finally understand what we do in this game. They showed a little bit more detail about how you collect raw materials that you can use to craft items like lures, smoke bombs, Pokeballs, potions. You can even call upon the Pokemon on your team to help scavenge for these materials. They can use their attacks and abilities to find those raw materials for you. The time of day and the weather will affect which wild Pokemon appear in different areas. They also showed them having the different personality types that we, like the different temperaments that we were talking about before, how they might run away and flee if they get scared. They might attack you and you'll have to dodge. Then you can decide to either catch them or battle against them. There's different types of things you can do, like missions that will advance the story, or requests that are given by the NPCs in town that are smaller tasks to give you rewards, like materials and items. And what I thought was most interesting here is the battling is different than what we know in traditional Pokemon games. You can attack using either something that's called strong style or agile style moves. Now, at first when they said this, I thought, okay, this is like a physical versus special type move, or like a, you know, contact move versus a status type move, but no. So the strong style moves are more powerful, they're stronger, as the name implies, but they may delay your next turn. Whereas the agile style moves, they raise your Pokemon's speed, as the name implies, makes them more agile, but it may lower the attacking power. So they really emphasized how these different battles against the alpha Pokemon, the noble Pokemon, even wild battles, you might have to be a little bit strategic, because this, I feel like, brings into play a whole new strategy that we're not used to for Pokemon games. It's like each of these moves have their own ability that you have to weigh in, you know, depending on who your opponent is. What did you think about all of that?
It was a lot of new content that I did not expect actually to come out or reveal before the game release, to be quite honest with you. I think a lot of the things that they did show off felt open world RPG type of tropes. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. Like crafting, using, and I'm glad they're using Pokemon to help scavenge it. It kind of adds a little bit more flavors, more creativity there. I like how there's a little bit more interactivity between the NPCs and yourself. Hopefully that gets fleshed out a little bit more than what we're seeing with the smaller tasks. But other than that, I'm wondering what's more than this, because this feels like the baseline. It's like, okay, this is what it's kind of showing off in this trailer, but like, is there anything more than this? And if there isn't much more than what we're seeing here, it's, I mean, it'll be a fine game. It'll be a good Pokemon game that will kind of implement stuff that's already been established. And I think that's safe.
Yes.
But I want to see a little bit more than this in order to say, I'm getting this, I'm into this kind of this game.
Yeah, so. I feel the same way. I liked what I saw today. I think these are really good concepts. I do still feel a little bit hesitant about how they're implemented, like how, you know, how well it's going to feel playing it. But I love these ideas, and you're right. I feel like this is, it's almost like the middle of like what the old Pokemon games were and the stuff that we are want and are used to versus this whole brand new concept of what we want. Like, imagine if we took all of these ideas and put them in what we know traditionally as the Pokemon games, where you're battling gym leaders and going throughout a region. Like, this looks like it's your hub world, your Jubilife town or village or whatever it is, and you're going, it doesn't look like it's one open world where you're going out on these missions, you're picking which area you go to. I wish that this concept was in a traditional Pokemon game, but like I said, there might still be like you said, there might still be more there that we just aren't seeing or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I do think it's promising. I think that if this is the direction that they're going and they do implement this into a greater type of game, I wouldn't mind that. I like that.
Yeah, it's a good half step into a direction that they haven't done before. And I think that's what they want to do. They're trying to implement established mechanics they've seen and observed in other games that work. It's like, okay, let's try to kind of put it in the pot, but not too much, because this is still Pokemon. This is a Pokemon game. I'm kind of glad they have this extra layer with the strong and agile style.
Yeah.
It doesn't probably add so much to the Pokemon moveset or whatever, but it does give you an extra layer of thinking between any move type that you'll see with your Pokemon. I like the noble Pokemon and how you're going to face them. I think it's the noble Pokemon, right? Where is the big bosses or?
Yeah, I actually, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I didn't like what I saw about the noble Pokemon. It looked, for half of the battle, you're just spamming the same, like,
you're just spamming smoke those bomb bombs,
or whatever
yeah.
at it, or the herbal, whatever, to calm it down. Like, I thought that was going to be the whole battle at first, because they were throwing it, dodging, throw, dodge. I'm like, oh my God, this is going to get so old so fast.
It looks very vanilla.
Yeah, and then like halfway through, then like you can battle it, and then you throw it some more. Like, I don't know. I think that's going to wear off really quickly.
The pacing of that was a little rough when I saw it. I think when I said I liked it, I liked seeing the Pokemon and how kind of powerful and big it looked.
They're
but you're
cool.
right. The moving.
Like, there's
your
no
character
strategy
looks
to
so
it.
Slow.
You just are throwing things and dodging.
No, you just dodge and
like,
throw.
That looks boring. Yeah. I hope there's more to it.
Me too. So, well, we'll see how this goes. I mean, it's not too long. It's another
two weeks.
And then we have it. And we have reviews out and everything. So we'll definitely have impressions from people. And hopefully it'll be okay. Who has that in the fan? I'm just gonna ask that for every game. I'm just interested in seeing who has that game as well. I know someone counterpicked it too in the fantasy critic.
It's Cyrillink.
Okay, Cyrillink. Yeah. Okay, cool.
I hope that one goes. Yeah, I mean, I really like the collecting Pokemon aspect of playing the traditional Pokemon games. I am the person who tries to catch them all, as you know, as you would say. But I do like the idea that this is a different way of going about it. Like, it seems like, okay, well, as I am completing these missions and these research tasks, like, you, there was the one in the trailer where it was like, okay, like, I want to see Shinx's ears and see the pattern on its ears. Like, that's kind of a little incentive. Like, I'm going to go out and try to find an area where I think there might be a Shinx and, you know, try to, maybe you try to sneak up on it and it sees you and it runs away. Like, it seems like it might be a little bit more interesting than running around in the grass, waiting until you get a Shinx encounter, throwing some Pokeballs at it until you catch it. Like, I think this is, it is fresh. And I hope that the novelty doesn't wear off after an hour or two.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I also, I think it's fresh as well because of just the world that it's in the time period. We've never seen a Pokemon game like this before. All the other Pokemon games, it's all current day or present day. You know what a Pokemon Center looks like. You know what a Pokemon and a gym looks like. It's very just like structured, and you expect that. But I'm glad this game is not doing that, and it's giving it a spin off of it. So I'm, I am looking forward.
They have like the trading post where it's like, I guess where you're going to be able to trade online with people. Like, that's a different twist instead of having like the PC system or whatever, you know, where you would connect online. They're calling it a trading post, which would be more, I guess, appropriate for that time period.
Right.
And then instead of, they have like, instead of having your Pokemon stay in the PC storage system, which wouldn't exist back then because of the technology, they had them all in like a farm like pen area where your Pokemon can go in there. So it does feel like it's genuine to the time period it's supposed to be, which I think is kind of cool. They didn't really cut corners with that. But yeah, I think, I don't know. Brolin wants to know, now that you've seen more footage for Pokemon Legends Arceus, are you predicting the game to be better, worse, or about the same based on your opinion of the game months back?
That's a good question. I think it's pretty close to the same, just because my expectations from a new Pokemon game can go, like, it could go super wild with it. I can have super high expectations. I can think of so many different ways they can go about it. But I'm glad I, like, kept, like, grounded. And, like, when I looked at the trailer, it's like, okay, it's going to be Pokemon. I know they're going to try to do something different. And that's exactly what they're doing in this trailer. They're trying more mechanics that's not in the Pokemon universe that they're going to try to implement. And I think they're pretty safe mechanics because we've seen it in other games. But hopefully it creates a new spin on the Pokemon franchise. So, yeah. What about you, Rebecca? What are you thinking?
You know, months ago I did say, and I've been saying this, that it's either going to be really amazing or a giant, like, dumpster fire of a game. And now I'm not so sure it's going to be that extreme. I think we're going to walk away from it thinking, like, wow, there's some really great ideas here, but man, I wish that anybody but Game Freak was developing this.
I think that's the correct answer.
And I think everybody knows what I mean when I say that. Like, I still feel like Game Freak holds Pokemon back majorly. But then again, Diamond and Pearl were not developed by Game Freak, and we said some not so nice things.
Well, they originally were.
That's Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl.
Right.
So, I don't know.
We'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes.
In 2 weeks.
Captain Toad Treasure Tracker is the next free game trial for Nintendo Switch Online members. You can play it for free starting from today through January 20th. It's also 30% off until, I think it's the 16th, if you want to buy it. I made a prediction that this game is going to get a sequel announced this year.
I would not be surprised by that.
I think we said this, I think we said this a while ago, that this seems like it's a good contender for getting a sequel on the Switch. I think it, you know, it's not unusual for them to have a game like this where they are giving it a free game trial just because they want more people to buy it. But I think they're doing that because they want to push some more sales and get people interested in a sequel.
I did not play this yet. I've had this forever now. I should play it because I really enjoyed it in Mario 3D World. The Toad Treasure Tracker kind of levels in there, amazing. I and they were simple in that game, but I'm sure it can get quite complicated really fast. It reminds me a lot of Picross 3D. I don't know if you ever played that on the 3DS, but basically you rotate this cube around and you kind of figure out the colors and the shapes based off of the numbers on the cube itself. Super, like, one of those puzzle games that's meditative, therapeutic, and I think of the Treasure Tracker the same way.
It seems similar. I was gifted this game last year because everyone knows how much I love Toad. I was impressed with what I played. It's usually not my... I do own multiple copies of Treasure Tracker. I own it digitally and physically. They were both gifted to me. Again, big fan of Toad here.
The game is treasure.
It's treasure. The puzzles are very well designed. It's like you said, where yes. you spin it and you look for their coins or bells or something that you have to find them and solve whatever puzzle it is to reach the flag. And it's cute and it's well designed, and Toad is only mildly obnoxious in it.
Are you gonna play it still?
I played the first like world or page or whatever book whatever the levels are called in that game, where it's like the first set of levels. I have not finished it, so maybe I return to it. I don't know, but you can try it, everyone who is a Nintendo Switch Online member, to see if this is the game for you. Honestly, you could probably beat the whole, if you started like within the next couple days, you could probably beat it before it gets taken down on January 20th. So
yeah.
It's a full game. Go play it.
It's a small enough game. It's a bite-sized game where you can go through and like hack it out a weekend and get out of it. So yeah, definitely try it out.
I also wanted to bring up a rumor that's been circulating that might have to do with my prediction that I made just now. I don't know. Emily Rogers, who has some history with leaks, some true, some not true, posted on Twitter today. She said she's curious to see the critical reception to an upcoming casual game. She says, I doubt this sequel will win over many new fans. So my first thought was, after seeing this Treasure Tracker news, that it could be a sequel to Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. It's a casual game. It would be a sequel. It probably wouldn't win over new fans if they didn't like the first game. But then I had some other thoughts of what it could be. I was trying to think, what other games could she be talking about? The other ones I thought of were ARMS 2. I don't think that would win over any new fans. It is more of a casual fighting game. And I think they could be looking at a sequel. Who knows? And then, I don't know, I saw a lot of people talking about a sequel to 1-2 Switch. Could we be getting 3-4 Switch? I think people would be less than pleased about that.
I mean, everyone wouldn't like that game. I don't think anyone would go for it, pay $60 for it. They saw what 1-2 Switch was in the beginning, and they're like, no,
what if it was like really cool?
What's really cool?
Like, I don't know.
I mean, 1-2 Switch is what it is. It's this weird kind of, I don't know, a novel, like weird type of game. I don't even know what to make of it.
I always said it should have been a pack-in with the Switch. It should have come free with all Nintendo Switches.
It should.
As like a tech demo.
It definitely should.
It's a tech demo. That's all it is.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other games that would fall in line with this, but I think you're right.
Like,
ARMS 2, I just doubt it. I don't know why. I just don't feel there was a lot of great hype, or not hype, excitement for the fans for ARMS 1.
Mm-hmm.
I know Donnie liked it for a good time. I know others have for a good time, but it quickly died down.
Yeah.
I think ARMS 2 was that like the year after Switch came out. It was like 2018, maybe.
ARMS
like
came
that.
Out
or
the,
was it
the
launch year?
Yeah, it was the launch year.
So I think that was, I think the main issue was with ARMS 2. I think it was probably a good game, but like it got quickly overshadowed with the other big games that just
Splatoon
came out later
2
that year.
Especially, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, with like competitive gaming of some kind.
Well,
yeah.
I think that fits her theory that how many games are there that would be due for a sequel on the Switch that is casual and she thinks probably wouldn't win over many new fans? I can't think of anything else besides that and Treasure Tracker.
Yeah, I'm thinking of like maybe a sports game like Mario Strikers that hasn't been inside the loop for quite some time. But it may win new fans for that game. I just hope that the same studio that done Mario Tennis and Mario Golf doesn't do this
Camelot,
one either.
Yeah.
Camelot, yeah. I hope they don't, because they kind of just I don't know, make these games superficial now, very service level, and I don't want Strikers to be like that either. But I don't know. we'll see what later this year. I think Captain Toad Treasure Tracker is a good guess. It's a very good guess.
Oh, I had another guess too that it might be. It could be a sequel for the Let's Go games. Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, if they're doing a Gen 2 kind of style. Let's Go Johto mm-hmm. of some sort, because that would be a sequel technically. And I know a lot of people didn't like Let's Go, that if you didn't like the first one, you mm-hmm. probably wouldn't like Let's Go Johto. The only problem with that is I don't know that they would be developing that alongside Pokemon Legends Arceus and see both of those out this year.
Yeah, maybe. And then G the Man said Pikmin 4. That's another sequel.
I think people would be excited about Pikmin 4.
Yeah, I would think people will be excited. I don't know how many new fans would jump on it, though, to be quite honest with you. It's definitely an acquired taste.
Yeah.
I think Pikmin is a certain kind of game. But good guesses all around. Let's Go is a good guess as well. But I think that one makes sense to come next.
True.
It's the next Pokemon game. I think it could be a fall game, even though Arceus is coming out in January. I could see that coming out later.
I could honestly see that too, right? Because I feel like they could have been working on that, you know, on the side type of thing. They already have the assets from Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee.
Yeah.
They already have the framework for Johto, so it's not like they need to come up with anything new. I feel like that's a very, not saying game development is easy, but it's not like creating a whole game from scratch. So.
Yeah. I think that's why this other studio that created Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl in Unity and kind of getting the formula down with the Pokemon in that engine so they can kind of just copy and paste throughout like the rest of the series and make it quick for them. It's not saying it's going to be an exact copy and paste, but at least they have some sort of
framework
in
is
that
there.
Engine.
Exactly.
And they could just paste in whatever skin. Let's Go remake of some other kind. They have the assets for it now, and they could just churn that out.
Yeah. So.
Well, Game Freak does their own thing.
Well, Game Freak, yes, yeah. Yeah, I like Emily Rogers. I know a lot of people, you know, she does have some questionable history with her leaks. She is the one who leaked Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, I think. And that ended up
She leaks a lot of things.
Yeah, I think she has a fairly decent track record. Not perfect, but I think it's worth listening to her.
And I think she's not too, I guess, like, too outspoken.
She doesn't do it for, like, clout or anything like that. Like, I think she knows the industry and she is smart about what she says.
Yeah, I bet she reads some forums and just reads Twitter, like, every now and then. Like,
yeah,
I guess I could put something in there for now and just sprinkle a little bit of information.
Yeah.
And that's that. And then she's out.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Yep. But yeah, we'll see what that's all about. And to end our news segment here, today marks 5 years since that memorable Breath of the Wild trailer during the Nintendo Switch presentation. The first Nintendo Switch presentation in January 2017, a couple months before the Switch released. Yarden Angel wants to know, do you remember where you were when the world changed that day? Might sound a little dramatic to phrase it that way, but I do remember. I distinctly remember watching the Switch presentation.
Wow.
I distinctly remember that Breath of the Wild trailer. Do you remember?
I think I've rewatched it many times that day to gather all the different details about this game, and it looked really good. I think I remember that school semester, I made a bet with my friend that I wouldn't buy any games. Just I had such a backlog 5 years ago that I wasn't going to buy anymore. And then
Here we are, five years later, you're still having a huge backlog.
Still having a huge backlog, and I totally broke that deal because I bought the Switch and I bought Breath of the Wild in March. It was so... It was very memorable. That trailer, I remember, it was pretty cool, too. It shocked me. It surprised me, because I'm not a huge Zelda fan.
Oh, well, yeah. I was. I was a big Zelda fan, and I was very hungry for information about this game so much. It goes way back to my dad buying us the Wii U to wait for the next Zelda game. We waited the whole Wii U's life for the Zelda game. It never came. Finally, they announced the Switch in, like, October 2016 or whatever it was. And I'm like, okay, Zelda, like, where is it? So I remember I was watching the Switch trailer, like, or Switch presentation, hoping that they would say something about Zelda. And they did. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, in my living room. My dad was there. I was in grad school at the time, so I wasn't working or in school or anything. So I was watching it, and I got chills when the Zelda theme happened in the trailer. We just rewatched it tonight to relive it. I had such chills during that trailer, and I think I watched it every single day between then and the release date. But the Switch made such an impression on me during that presentation. I was going to buy it anyway, but I made sure that the next day I lined up at GameStop early to be in line to pre-order it. There were some people in line in front of me. That's, you know, how in demand. I don't know if anyone remembers how hard it was to get a pre-order for the Switch those first couple months.
Yes.
But that trailer definitely convinced me of it. If just the concept didn't. Yeah, I remember that day very well.
Yeah, I remember rewatching it several times. It was one of the more memorable ones.
Yarden pointed out that the release date reveal was the very last thing shown in the presentation. I'm glad that you said that, because I also distinctly remember, like, right before they showed that part of it, I'm like, please come out in 2017. Please don't delay it anymore. Please be before, you know, November 30th. And then when it came up March 3rd, 2017, I'm like, oh my God, I only have to wait two more months.
Your head was blown.
Like, I couldn't believe it was that soon after waiting and waiting and delay and delay. Like, so close, I could taste it. Yeah, that was a very, very good memory for Rebecca.
Now, when is Breath of the Wild 2 coming out, Rebecca? When is
it? The best
is it March 3rd again?
The best thing they could do is have a direct and show us another awesome trailer and make Rebecca beg, please, 2022, please, and then show us March 3rd. That would be the nicest thing Nintendo could do for me.
Right.
Alas, I don't think that will happen, but it would be nice.
No. It's looking. I need a name. I need another subtitle than Breath of the Wild 2.
I know.
We keep saying it. Oh man, it's like the NX all over again.
It really
is. We're just waiting for the name now. And seeing what it's like.
Oh so. Well, that was good. I'm ready. I'm good ready stuff. For it. We have some Shaq questions directly from you. We have some good ones
from you.
Alex wants to know, what are your thoughts on an achievement system equivalent to the one on Xbox or PlayStation 4 or 5? He says, I would die for one. It can give a game so much more content or things to do. He gives us some examples of some easy achievements that they could implement. It's also a software feature, so it shouldn't be that hard to realize. What do you guys think? I know we had this question many times in the past, and here we are years later. We still don't have one.
No.
I don't think it's going to happen at this point, Alex.
I don't think so, too. But what do you think of it now? Is there any difference in opinion than you had before with an achievement system? That you have a PS5 as well.
Yeah. No, I don't really care about achievements. I don't pay attention to them. I turn them off. I was so upset.
Wow.
I'm sorry to end. Like, this is going to hurt people's feelings. I was playing Life is Strange True Colors on my PS5, and I get into this game. Like, nobody can be in the same room as me. Like, I have to be focused. Like, I don't normally care that much about
games.
Got
the headphones on.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Life is Strange is different.
You got to be into it. Yes.
There was, like, a really intense cutscene happening. And then, like, in the middle of a cutscene, that huge thing blares in the corner, the huge sound, like, achievement, ruined my immersion. I was so angry. I was like, how do I turn these off? I'm, like, Googling, how do I turn off? I was so mad. I turned those off immediately, so I don't even see them anymore. Because that, I don't like it. Get away. If I cared about, like, no, I don't want it. Get away from me. I would not be that dramatic if it happened on the Switch. I just wouldn't care. Like, I wouldn't try to complete them all.
I get that. I can understand that. I like it for games that I want to kind of get progress done. And it's like, okay, I wanted to get some sort of achievement because I'm really into this game and yeah. I'm really enjoying the mechanics in there. I can totally understand you being frustrated with breaking the immersion
within
a very emotional, I know, very emotional narrative driven game. Yeah. It comes out of being very dramatic. I like achievement systems. I don't think I'm like that obsessed with it compared to others, because I know what to like. Okay, I'm not going to get every trophy in here. But if there's a game on PlayStation and I finish the game and I'm like, how bad, like how much more do I need to do to get this platinum? I actually look at the trophy list and see what's on there and try to figure out what other things I need to do there. On some games, if I'm very interested in beating it and then more than beating it, then I look at a trophy list from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then kind of look at, okay, how do I not miss any? I think I'm going to do a replay of Witcher 3 on my PlayStation to get that platinum trophy, because I did miss a couple on my first playthrough. I really enjoyed Witcher 3, and I played it for first on PlayStation, so I want to continue that. So I enjoy achievement systems when I'm really into games. I would like to see that transfer over to Nintendo, but I don't think it's gonna be there anytime soon. I think I've said this before too, folders and skins are probably the very next thing that they're gonna do, and they're not doing it at all. They're not putting different colors. They're not putting the color red or blue or green.
Yeah,
like the most simple things that you can do with the UI, and they're not doing it. So yeah, that's a far-flung dream, Alex. I'm sorry, but achievement systems is not going to happen on the Switch. I doubt that they care, too.
I think also part of it, and like you said, I definitely get what you said, Garrett. Like, if there's a game you really love, like, I get why people like it, and I'm not knocking yes. that at all. Just because I don't like them doesn't mean I don't understand why people do. And I like having the option. You know, if that's something they could implement, I would like that for the people who like it. But I also mm-hmm. feel like what you said, Garrett, is true, that it would be a lot for them, because it's like, well, do they only do it for their first party games at this point? Do they require third party yeah. developers to come up with achievements? Do they like make it consistent across? Like, it's not only too late to do it, but I feel like they just can't be bothered.
Yeah, I really think they don't care. Yeah. So.
Sorry, Alex.
Sorry, Alex.
Maybe someday. Maybe next Switch. Who I don't knows? Know. Who just... knows? But you're right. It we'll is see. Just a software feature. Like, we saw them update out of nowhere with a Blu-ray. Not Blu-ray. What the heck? Bluetooth upgrade just out of nowhere. So we could just wake up and there could be one someday. Who knows? Mm-hmm. G-Man wants to know, we're halfway through January, spending the nice lovely day while it's cold and freezing outside. What activities are you doing? How does it make you warm up? We did have some cold days here. The past couple days have not been so bad, but we had some chilly days earlier this week. Yes. And it's gonna snow, I think, this weekend. I really like to curl up by the fireplace with a game, or, you know, just something to keep me busy. That's like the spot that I gravitate towards. All wrapped up in a blanket. It's my happy place.
Nice. I mean, the cold doesn't really bother me anyway.
Okay, Elsa.
No. I definitely like enjoy a warm cup of coffee or something like that, and it's actually pretty well heated in this apartment, so I don't really need something to get myself warm in or anything like that. So, but yeah, definitely a warm drink will warm you up for sure. Yes,
warm coffee. I'm cold all the time. It could be warm and cozy inside, but I will still gravitate towards that fireplace. I will still wear a hoodie. I will still wrap myself in a blanket.
Oh, I love wearing a hoodie. It's just so comfy, and it's just like soft, like, you know, clothing, and then you could just put a hoodie over and just snuggle like by yourself. I do enjoy a good hoodie.
Yes. Gabs wants to know, Garrett, for someone that yes. hasn't played Shin Megami Tensei games since the PlayStation 2, any words of wisdom on Shin Megami Tensei 5? Shall I prepare myself for the worst?
Honestly, Gabs, I think the older Shin Megami Tensei games are the least accessible games compared to what we're having now. So I think you're going to be okay with Shin Megami Tensei 5. If you can get through the PS2 ones, you could definitely go through Shin Megami Tensei 5. So, I mean, other than that, you should prepare for the worst because, you know, this franchise, it will kick you in the gut and, like, throw you away and steal your money and make you go back to the last save many times. But, yeah, other than that, I think it's going to be easier for you than what I had to go through. So, yeah. I'm just impressed you went through it during the PS2 days. That means you are the most prepared compared to me.
Gabs, so you will have to let us know how you do. Good luck. I'm curious.
Probably beat it before I do.
I'm curious. Somebody who has not, who was a fan of the franchise, like kind of back in the day and has stopped playing and is now going back to it. I'm curious what they would think.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Good luck with it and let us know. All right. I like this question. King Lonk says, mm-hmm. of these three upcoming games, which are you the most excited about? I feel like he might have picked one of these for each of the three of us. I don't know. He says Card Shark, Haunted Chocolatier, and Sports Story. Three indie games that are announced.
Three indie games. Good questions. When I think of first that I would gravitate towards, it's Sports Story. Just because I want to see all the different sports and I really like the humor behind Golf Story itself, and just want to see that mechanic being in other sports that I enjoy, like tennis, like I don't know what other sports that would be in there, but tennis is my favorite. So yeah, I would definitely be more interested in Sports Story than Haunted Chocolatier. It looks cool, it looks interesting. I don't see that coming out anytime soon, so I'm not like really hyping up for it. And then Card Shark looks cool. It looks cool. I just don't know much more than what I'm seeing in the trailer. Definitely a style, though. What about you, Rebecca?
I don't even remember Card Shark. It doesn't sound like my kind of game, so definitely not that one. Mm-hmm. I love Stardew Valley, and I love Concerned Ape very, very much. You're right. This game is far away, and I'm not kind of thinking about it as much. But man, if you had these three games in front of me right now today, which one I would start playing, it would be that one, Haunted Chocolatier. Like, I just, knowing how high quality Stardew is, knowing, you know, that this is a world that I will spend many hours in, I want to get started. But I don't, Sports Story is close because I like Golf Story a lot, but I'm not a golf person, but I love the humor in that game and I love the takes, you know, and everything that they do. With the RPG, like the RPG unique take that they mm-hmm. have. So just like you, Garrett, I'm mm-hmm. very excited to experience that with different sports. So definitely Haunted Chocolatier, but I don't know, Sports Story. I'll get it and I'm excited for it. But man, sounds I want to make some chocolate. I didn't
some hot
even
chocolate,
know.
Warm
like,
yourself up.
Concerned Ape didn't like, I didn't know I wanted to be a farmer until Concerned Ape convinced me of that. I didn't know that I wanted to be a chocolate maker until Concerned Ape mm-hmm. proposed this idea to me. It's magical. I'm excited.
And convinces you.
He does. He does. Like, man, I love it. Another good question. Pete the Smiling mm-hmm. Stegosaurus. I know we've had this question before, too, but like now that some time has gone by, I'm curious if it's changed for you, Garrett. He says, what mm-hmm. game series that has never been on a Nintendo system would you most like to see on the Switch?
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. I really thought about this like quite often. And there's just one franchise that instantly should be in Switch, but it will never be on Switch because it's a Sony franchise. Mm-hmm. And that's Ratchet & Clank. I think that would be absolutely perfect for the Switch, all classic games of the Ratchet and Clank series, and including the new ones. I think you'll be right at home with Switch. I know it'll never come over there, but that's the one franchise I think of when I think of other game series.
I also had a Sony exclusive that is not unlike Ratchet and Clank that I think would be a good fit on a Nintendo system. I can't remember if this was the game that I said last time, but I would love if the Sly Cooper series came over to the Switch or just a future Nintendo console.
Oh, the Sly Cooper's a good one, too.
Yeah, I feel like Sly would fit very well. I feel like that whole trio would fit very well on the Switch. I'm surprised that it hasn't happened already. I don't know if that series is dead. I hope it's not. Mm-hmm. I love Sly Cooper.
There's been rumors of a sequel coming. I don't know who would take it. Another studio would have to make this game.
It seems like Insomniac is so busy with Ghost of Tsushima lately.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think there was another studio that made Sly 4.
I think so. I can't remember who.
Yeah, but I think they're making VR games now, and they're owned by Facebook or something along the lines of that. They're out. So it must be another studio that Sony needs to outsource with. We'll see.
That would be my choice, Pete the Smiling Stegosaurus. Whitewater Moose says, what do you think of the Persona and GoldenEye rumors? Well, we talked about the GoldenEye rumors last week, so if you're curious about our thoughts on those, check out last week's episode. I have not heard of Persona rumors. Have you heard of this, Garrett?
Oh, there's just big...
I know, aren't they doing Persona stuff for like the anniversary? Weren't we talking about that, how there's so many things that they're doing for... the anniversary.
Yeah, they have 7 announcements left. We speculate that one announcement is going to be Persona 6, and then the other 6 might be anything else. I made a predictions on the RPG Cave podcast that it would be like Persona 4 Golden, Persona 3 treatment on the I think any older game that they would like announce or release, automatically thinking of Switch now. I think they're in that mode where they're releasing both on PlayStation and Switch.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, there is a Persona. There was on their website Persona 4 like collection of some kind that was in that website and then immediately taken out. Like, it was like a second or like 30 minutes or something along the lines of that. But yeah, Whitewater Moose, I mean, expect Persona. Yeah, definitely expect some Persona other than this Persona 4 Arena Ultimax game coming out this year. I'm thinking other games are coming. Other Persona games, yeah.
That sounds hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle the Pug wants to know, are you all for traditional... Okay, apparently this was a question on the PSVG podcast last night. I didn't hear it until after it.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I'm understanding the question right. Are you for all for traditional chicken with bones or boneless chicken? He also wants to know, plus, which Nintendo character is more likely to eat traditional or boneless chicken? So are we talking about chicken wings with the bone or off the bone?
Yeah, that's basically it, right? Is the traditional chicken wings.
With the bone.
Do you prefer that? Or
the boneless chicken
whatever.
Wings.
Whatever. Which are chicken nuggets.
They're chicken nuggets pretty much. Or like chicken fingers or whatever.
Right.
I mean, Kyle, I like both. I love chicken. For different like occasions or different scenarios. I do like chicken. I know a lot of people don't like it on the bone. I think they have like a weird, it's like a mental thing where they don't like to eat meat off the bone. I'm not like that. I like chicken wings.
That was me, actually. Oh. I was that person that did not want to eat off the bone. But recently I like chicken from, I actually prefer chicken off the bone because it tends to be juicier and tends to be more flavorful.
It's good. Yeah. It's tender a lot.
Compared to the breast meat. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Same.
So there you go. Traditional chicken wings now, Kyle. It used to be boneless chicken, but now it's chicken wings.
Which Nintendo character is more likely to eat traditional or boneless chicken? Do you have an answer for that, Garrett?
I don't know. There's they could go for any of them, to be honest with you. I can't imagine Nintendo characters eating food.
Yeah, so I don't know Wario. What's up with them. I could see Wario digging into chicken wings.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He seems like he would be a messy chicken wing eater. Like, he wouldn't wash his hands.
I could see Peach eating boneless chicken with a fork and a knife.
Yes. She would, like, cut it so that it's a nice small piece.
Yeah.
there you go. Yeah. All right. And then I really like this question to end off the podcast here. Yo wants to know, by the end of 2022, which Switch game do you think will be your personal favorite? And I think, I don't know if this question was intended this way, but overall, like, over all Switch games, will something this year that comes out top whatever your current favorite Switch game is? That's how I interpreted the question.
Yeah. I don't think so. I'm trying to think of
what's
previous
your
games.
What's your current favorite Switch game?
I actually, maybe. Mario plus Rabbids is probably my personal favorite. So far, in Sparks of Hope, if they're on par and exceeding it, they could definitely topple that spot. So, yeah, Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope is getting the run for my money. I'll be definitely focusing on that. And then maybe a Fire Emblem game that may come out this year. That'll probably be a remake of an earlier game in the series.
And Rebecca will get lots of Fantasy Critic points for it.
We'll see. We'll see if it comes and releases.
My favorite Nintendo Switch game is Breath of the Wild. That's going to be very, very hard to top. However, if the sequel to Breath of the Wild releases this year and includes a lot of the things that I missed in Zelda that were not in Breath of the Wild, like traditional dungeons, for example, I think this could potentially be a better game than Breath of the Wild. I don't know. I feel like we still haven't seen a lot of this game. We're not really, we don't have a whole lot to work with information-wise here. So it could. I don't say that, like, very confidently, yo, that Breath of the Wild 2 will be my favorite Switch game. But I think it definitely has a lot of potential, and I don't think there's another game that could do that. I really liked Splatoon 2, and I think Splatoon 3 I could like even more potentially. I can't think of anything else though that would top Breath of the Wild for me, but who knows? Who knows? We'll see.
It may not come out this year.
I know it might not. We'll see.
Most likely not. We'll see how it goes. I'm hopeful for Breath of the Wild 2, but there's just no information and no name, and I'm like, well, we can only speculate right now. So there you go.
We will see. And Garrett, if we like miraculously get information about Breath of the Wild sequel within the next week, you have to come on the podcast next week. You can't not. You can be mid-flight. You will have to be on it to talk to us about it.
We'll see how that one goes.
I don't think we'll see it.
Life will be a tornado next week. Yeah. No,
I think you'll be safe.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for this week. Thank you again, everybody, for writing in all of these awesome questions. They really make the podcast better. Thank you all for listening. It really, I think, gives us a lot of motivation to keep doing this each and every week. But yes, Garrett, we will see you in 2 weeks then. Good luck with Tuesday.
Yes.
Good luck with the move and the whole tornado that is coming. We will be thinking about you next week.
Thank you very much.
But Elaine will be back. The show will go on. So still tune in next week, everybody. And we will see you next time. Good night, Koopalings.
Bye-bye.